Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. So glad to see you here all this morning. If you have your bulletins, just a few announcements to share with you as we begin here. Notice there the insert. You have really two inserts here. One is just an announcement about the community Thanksgiving service. And if you note the location, it is going to be right here this year. This is the community Thanksgiving service that we have every year in our area, the North River District. The ministerial group will come together to provide that. And, of course, the church will be alive with activity that evening here. I hope that each of you can come and be a part of that special service. We'll have a lot of visitors here from other congregations. And, of course, notice there we will be receiving an offering. It will go to WRE, as well as we will be taking and collecting canned goods or dry goods that will be given to the Stokesville Food Pantry. And so checks will need to be made, of course, out to the Mount Olivet United Brethren Church. But we hope that we have a great turnout and that a lot of people will come and support that service, as well as the offering and work that's being done to support those ministries. Also on the note, the kids might want to put this up on their refrigerator, but Christmas movie at the Sipe Center. We're going to do that again this year. NRMA is welcoming children and youth to come see a free movie at the Sipe Center in Bridgewater. The movie this year is the newer Grinch movie. It's not the Jim Carrey one, but the animated one. So I hadn't seen that yet. I'm looking forward to seeing that movie. Showing time is 1 o'clock to 2:30. And, of course, again, there's no cost. It's free to come. And we hope that maybe you can invite a friend to that. And good opportunity for them to just have that time of fellowship with the churches there. Today we are taking our food and the supplies we collected to Valley Mission. Also, the children will be working with the deacons as we take a warm meal to Valley Mission. And so, boy, we're excited about that. What a blessing it is for all these gifts to be taken, as well as monetary gifts. I think the kids' check will go for $350 that they gave. Also, the church has given an amount as well, and we've collected other money through the weeks as well. Charles will give us a total on that when he has it, but sometimes money comes in even this Sunday and after, so it takes a little bit to get a total on that. But Charles? Okay, that. Yes. Yep. That's great, Charles. We're glad to take that. And of course, they certainly need the help, and we just appreciate all the offering and giving that has taken place this year to support Valley Mission. If you hadn't had a chance to give, or maybe you just forgot to go shopping, you were going to get something, there's still opportunity today. Just make the check out to Moscow Church, but in the memo line, just put on there that it's to go to Valley Mission, and that way it gets designated to the correct place. So thank you, Charles, for doing that, and thanks to all those who have been working on that. Of course, there will be no Bible study this evening because of the work there at Valley Mission, so don't show up here at 4 o'clock for the Bible study. Unfortunately, won't be here. Also, the fall CBM is coming up upon us just a couple weeks away here. Note there that the positions are listed of what we will need. There's also that posted on the bulletin. We thank Kim for all her work on that. And if you have questions about any of that, you can certainly talk to Kim. She's here, and we'll talk to you after church. But your job in the meantime is to pray about who will be called to those positions, who is God calling up to lead in those positions and work in those positions here in the church. So if you would, just be in prayer about that and seeking God's Spirit for those who will be leading here at church. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time, Kenny?
One announcement is, I guess it should be a praise at the same time, but 300 pints of apple butter are all gone.
Yeah, praise the Lord for that.
All of them left this morning.
Yeah.
That's done. I encourage all the kids that are able to stay after this afternoon. If you're
yes.
not able to go to mission, please stay.
Yep.
Because we had your lunch, and it's not pizza this time. It's a taco bar.
Yeah.
So,
that sounds good.
Just stay here, even if they can't go to the mission this afternoon.
Right, and they'll be working to get that meal ready, helping out with preparation as well. So, please do stay and appreciate all the work. What a blessing. All the apple butter is gone, but we had great reviews of that apple butter. The kids did a great job, and the adults as well. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. Great fundraiser for the kids. So. Yeah.
Any jars that you have, please bring them back.
If you
take them and reuse them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point. If you'd like to bring the jar back, maybe you have no use for it, bring it back and we'll put it to use next year.
Like I said, 300 pints.
Yeah.
Pretty helpful.
That's a lot. That's right. The flowers this morning are in memory of Amy Lau's mother, of her birthday, and Sharon Scholl. And so they're beautiful, Amy. And we're glad that you have those there. Hey, Janet.
Yes, I would just like to thank everyone who donated items for the meal today. I don't know if everyone's familiar with Valley Mission, but they are homeless people. So we are serving homeless people.
That's right. And these aren't all just adults either. There are kids, families with children that live in the shelter. We've been told that in the morning they get on the bus right there at the shelter, and the bus drops them off in the evening. I mean, that is their home. So these are homeless families at times. And so it's a great work, and we just appreciate all the ministry that goes into to serving those there. Anyone else? Lee?
Might I say something about Charlotte's birthday?
Yes. Yes. You'll see there on the back that there is a happy birthday to Charlotte Grimm. She has relocated to the Bridgewater home, and of course, her new address is there listed. And she is having her 90th birthday on November 12th. And if you would, maybe you had time to just send her a card and a happy birthday for that. They're trying to have a card shower for her and just to celebrate her birthday from her church and her extended friends. So, yeah, keep that in mind and maybe send a birthday card to Charlotte if you get a chance. Anyone else? Let us just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day. Lord, we thank you for our many blessings, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can come and worship you. And Lord, we know there are those around the world and today that, Lord, are in fear for their life because, Lord, they cannot openly bless your name. But Lord, we can. And so we thank you, Lord. We pray for those now that are under such persecution, Lord. We just pray that you will protect them. And Lord, that you allow them and all people to come and to praise the name of Jesus without fear. Lord, we praise your goodness here this morning. Bless us, I pray, in this time of worship here together. We worship your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Stand together for this morning's call to worship. This is coming from portions of Romans chapter 2. You find this in the inside of your bulletin. Paul says, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge. For in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same thing. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice unrighteousness. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God?" Let's turn in our hymnal to page 284. "They'll Know We're Christians by Our Love." Page 284. I'll take just a couple minutes to gather up our prayer requests and praises. And one praise we have is Jean is back with us this morning. Weren't we blessed to have her here and to hear her here? Yeah, not just her voice, but her music as well. And she got through those treatments. It was just a short round, but we just praise the Lord. She's gotten her strength back and is with us here this morning. So, Jean, we just praise the Lord with you and for you. So. Also, if you would continue to keep Nancy Bailey in your prayers. Nancy had surgery just, 2 weeks ago and seems to be doing so well. We just praise the Lord for working through the surgery and the doctors just being able to identify what was going on and to fix that. And so, Nancy, again, we just continue to keep you in our prayers and give the Lord thanks for the good work that He's doing in your life. So praise the Lord for that. Yep. Yes. Yep. If you didn't hear Nancy, she said she just appreciates all the calls, the cards, the prayers, that she really appreciated all that. So, Nancy, we just praise the Lord for that. And we just give thanks for what God's doing there to give you healing. Also, if you would, put Charlotte Grimm on your prayer list. I made note about her birthday there, but Charlotte has COVID and I think a strand of flu of some sort, so she's kind of dealing with two different things. And so we just pray that she will heal rapidly. I got to talk to one of her daughters, and I think she's stable and doing okay, but certainly we want to just lift her up in our prayers and pray God's healing upon her through this. I have a praise that last week we had some visitors here from the Blue Ridge region. I don't know how many of you got to meet, I think it was Diane and Penny, Diane Pence and Penny Adams. They were here with their husbands, and they were from Antioch, I believe, is where they go to church. And they were just visiting and around. They both serve on the Blue Ridge Region General Board. I serve on that board as well. But they were visiting just the different churches in our district, in our region. And they were here last Sunday. And they were here on a special Sunday in which we were having baptisms and receiving members. And afterwards, I had a meeting with that group last week. They told me they felt so welcomed by everyone here. And I thought that was great. What a blessing that they just felt such at home, at ease with everyone, and really felt like you were a welcoming group. And so, boy, doesn't that bless a pastor's heart to hear that. And I've heard that before, though. And so I pray we continue to be a welcoming group and welcome those who are new with us. So, great job. What a blessing. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share? Pauline, continue to pray for Vance. And
he has not had surgery.
Right. That's
that is scheduled for this coming Wednesday.
Okay. Right.
And was getting ready to do his surgery, took his temperature, sent us right to the emergency room.
Yep.
And that night, he ended up back in the hospital. So we thank the Lord, thank the prayers. We got cards for his surgery.
Yeah.
But we were welcome for the cards. We yeah. appreciate them.
Right.
But keep him in your prayers because right. his leg is not doing good.
Yep. If you didn't hear, Pauline, this Wednesday is when Vance will have this procedure on his leg. It was postponed because of sickness, but we praise the Lord that he's doing better, and Pauline, you're doing better, and so we just praise the Lord for that, and this Wednesday, he will have that procedure, so please keep him in your prayers. Yep, Lord willing, that's right. We make plans. I heard someone say one time, we make plans, and God laughs. So the plan was to have surgery a few weeks ago, but God knew you needed to be well before you did that. So, other prayer requests or praises, Gail.
I'd like to add my brother Stephen Orbaugh.
Okay.
He has gotten some kind of gallbladder problems, and he has to get gallbladder out. And the timing schedule.
Yes.
And then my dad Steve Orbaugh.
Yeah. Okay. If you would, keep Gail's dad and her brother in your prayers. Her brother for gallbladder removal. And Gail, we know about that one. That's what my father had done here just recently. And also her dad, as he will be put on dialysis. So if you would, just be lifting up Gail's family and keeping them in prayers. Thank you, Gail, for sharing that. Anyone else? With that, I'm going to call now on our ushers to come forward and collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me? Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise your holy name. We praise your Son Jesus this morning. We praise you for his grace, his salvation, his mercy, his love. Lord, we praise him for his guidance in our life, that friendship that we have, Lord. Lord, that none of us are ever alone, no matter what we go through, no matter what difficulty we might be facing in our life. Lord, that you walk with us hand in hand. Lord, you are our shepherd. Lord, we praise your Son for his willingness to die upon Calvary for us. Lord, that there he took upon that cross all of our sins. And Lord, he didn't have to do it, but Lord, he chose to do it. He chose the nails. And Lord, because of that, Lord, we are forgiven. Lord, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. Lord, we just love the name of Jesus so much. We thank you so much for him. We praise him. Lord, there's not enough time in the day or even in our life to praise him enough. And Lord, in heaven, that's what we'll be doing for 1,000 years. Just praising the Son, Jesus, your Son, Jesus, for all he's done. And Lord, that's what we do here this morning. We praise his name. We gather together, not just as in this company, but Lord, angels in heaven now that praise the name of Jesus. And Lord, we shout his praise here together. And we magnify the one who saves us all. Lord, we thank you for him. Lord, we pray for those upon our prayer list, Lord. We know that your ear is attentive to our concerns, Lord, and that your heart is full of compassion towards those that are suffering. Lord, we pray healing for those that need healing. Lord, we pray for our offertory as well. Lord, bless those who continually and faithfully give to you, Lord. They seek to honor you through their giving, Lord. Just pray that you continue to bless those whom give unto you. And Lord, put that giving heart within each one of us that we might seek to give unto you even as we worship you through this giving. Lord, bless us in this service, I pray, as we turn to your word and continue to study the words of your Son Jesus and how you speak to us so clearly through him. And I pray even as the children go down, Lord, you'll continue to lay those laws, Lord, and that message of love upon their heart and their mind as well. Lord, we praise you in all things. Lord, we pray special blessing upon the people there at Valley Mission. Lord, we just pray that somehow you'll work in the midst of their troubles. Lord, might we be a blessing unto them even through this work that we do in your name. But Lord, we pray most of all that somehow you can just help pick them up, Lord. And Lord, dust them off if they've been knocked down. And Lord, put them back on their feet and back on their way. Lord, we pray for those that are going to receive this meal, even from the church today. Lord, bless each one. And let your Son Jesus' name be magnified. Lord, there's power in your Son Jesus' name, and that's the power they need in their life, as we do too. And Lord, we just pray that that message is clearly proclaimed today there at Valley Mission. Lord, we praise you now. Pray a blessing upon all those gifts that will be taken there as well. Bless those that will receive them. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed as well as our youth Sunday school. Yeah. And I want you in your Bible to turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. And we're continuing on about what did Jesus say about judgment? What did Jesus say about judgment? That's where we're heading this Sunday. Boy, we're really closing. We're coming to a close on this series. It's going to come to an end, but you know, we've had some good topical sermons here, really just kind of jumping around to different topics that Jesus spoke on and talked about. And so it's neat to be able to look at these different topics and see exactly what Jesus had to say about these things. And so we probably only have one or two more sermons left in this series. But it has been fun. And I said from the very beginning of this series that it's good to just focus on the red letters in your Bible. Sometimes you can just kind of skim through the New Testament, almost just reading the words of Jesus and seeing those spoken words that Christ spoke here upon earth. And so we've been doing that, but I encourage you to continue to do that. Look at the Gospels and other places in Scripture where it's recorded, the words of Jesus. And so we're looking here this week about what Jesus said about judgment. Now we're kind of backing up. You remember last week we were right below the narrow gate, the teaching of the narrow way, the narrow gate, the wide and broad gate leads to destruction. And we were right after that, talking about false prophets, but we're backing up now. We're kind of right before the narrow way. And so I think that gives you some kind of context to it as Jesus was speaking about this right before he talked about the broad way and the narrow way. He was talking about judgment. And I think it's interesting that it falls right there. So I'm going to pick up here in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. And Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Verse 6, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." In the King James Version of the Bible, the word judgment appears some 294 times in the Bible. The word judgments appears 127 times. The word judge appears 191 times in the Scripture. The word judged appears some 63 times in the Scripture. But when you come to the words judgest, or judgeth, or judging, they only appear a combined 30 times in the Scripture. It seems as if when we're talking about judgment of God, that's very acceptable. When it comes towards us, like judgest, or judgeth, or judging, that there's very little in the Scriptures about us doing that. Only 30 times combined those three words in the Scripture. I think that lack of use is kind of what Jesus is referring to here, even as he says, "Be careful that judge not, lest you yourself will be judged." I think the overall theme here, really, that Jesus is working towards is that in judging others, beware that it's risky business. As Christians, we must beware that when we judge, that in the eyes of God, it's a very risky thing. That we ourselves might be reaping judgment upon ourselves. And so we have to be careful. The word judgment in the Greek is the word krisis. It refers to a verdict or a decree or a decision. So this idea is Jesus saying, you know, when you reach a judgment or a decision towards someone, when you're basically becoming you're coming to some verdict or some decision over another person. The Greek word for judge is krino, and krino is the verb form of krisis in the Greek. And the word krino is what's used here. It's an action. It's a verb. It's something that you're actually doing. You're not just perceiving here, but you're taking an action on it. You are making a judgment on it. And so that's the word that's used here. Jesus says it several times. This krino is the Greek word that you find here in the Scriptures. And Jesus is saying, be careful where you're reaching this verdict, you're making some decision, and then you're casting that verdict upon that other person. Be careful. Be careful because it's a risky thing to do. It's a dangerous even thing to do when we cast judgment upon others. The judgment of others is dangerous business, number one, because judging others doesn't so much define really who other people are as much as it defines who you are. Judging others doesn't necessarily really define who another person is as much as it's making a definition about us, the ones that are making the judgment. Listen to that verse 1 again. Judge not that you be not judged. It's kind of a revealing of oneself, isn't it? When you make a judgment, you are in a sense judging yourself based on what sort of judgment that you are bringing against another. For with judgment, you kind of judge yourself. And so it's risky. Jesus is saying, be careful that you don't do that because you're really bringing about judgment upon yourself by the judgment that you are making. Maybe somebody walks into this church and maybe they look somewhat out of place. Maybe they look different than what we think Sunday Christians should look like. Maybe they're dressed differently. Maybe they talk differently than the way we talk. Maybe they dress differently than we dress. Maybe rather than looking like they should be ready for the communion line, they look like they're ready for the line that's going into the bar. Maybe we perceive them as out of place. Maybe we make the judgment that they don't belong, that they're in the wrong place. Or we say to ourselves, why are they here? Boy, woe unto us, right? Well, the place they should be is here, right? But we can quickly make judgments like that, can't we? We can look at someone, just the looks of a person, and we say, obviously, that's who they are. I've met people before, and I've made quick judgments like that. I think, boy, they certainly don't look like a Christian. But then you get to talking with them, you realize, well, maybe they might dress a little differently than I do, but buddy, they love the Lord. They know Jesus. And they have a desire, you can tell in their heart, a desire to follow and love God. They might look differently than I do, but that doesn't mean that their heart is wrong. And so we have to be careful, don't we? We have to be careful in placing judgment upon another just because of the way they look or that they look differently or talk differently than us. We have to be careful. We have to be careful in judging others in a wrong sort of way because notice here that if we apply this judgment wrong, it really just reveals our own heart to God. To God. That not having properly applied judgment correctly, that we are actually judging ourselves. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a great example of this. Moses, remember, he was led with the job of leading the children out of Israel. And he was supposed to be the spokesperson for God to the people. He had a simple job. You think it would be simple. What God spoke, he was just supposed to relay that information to the people and lead them out of Egypt. But at times, Moses would get angered at the people. And he would get frustrated that God had spoken to them and they bellyached. They longed again for Egypt at times. They bellyached about the food. They bellyached about the seasonings that they didn't have, the spices that were back in Egypt. And they bellyached and bellyached. And God would meet them and provide for them, you know, as they bellyached. One place in the scriptures, they came to a very deserted place, and there was no water. And the people started to cry out, "Oh, Moses, you bring us out into the middle of nowhere to die. God brings us out here to punish us, to suffer us. Back in Egypt, well, we had plenty of water. We were slaves, but we had plenty of water there." And they bellyached and complained and cried and just made a fuss. And finally, Moses said to Aaron, "Go and get my staff. Go and get my staff and bring it unto me. And call the people out to come together and listen to what I'm about to tell them." And so Aaron went and got the staff, and he called the people unto himself. He brought the rod there. He gathered the people together. And Moses began to speak to them in Numbers chapter 20, verse 10, 11. This is what he says. "Hear now, you rebels." "Hear now, you rebels," is what he says. Must we bring water to you out of this rock?" And then Moses lifted up his hand and he struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly for the people. And they brought their cattle, and the people came and they drank. Boy, it's a miracle, wasn't it? That's a miracle. When have you ever struck a rock and out pours enough water to feed the cattle and the nation of Israel at that point, probably potentially hundreds of thousands of people there. And yet here comes this water flowing forth enough to quench all of their thirst. But Moses at this point was passing judgment, wasn't he? You'd think, well, he should have been right to act this way. They were being a pain in the neck. That shouldn't he have authority to say what he said? And notice here that God says, "No, you misrepresented me. That you didn't have the right to do that." And in Deuteronomy 3, 23 through 27, it comes to say that Moses was then unallowed to enter into the promised land. It says there that, well, why don't you just turn there, Deuteronomy 3. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 3, chapter 3, verse 23. "Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth who can do anything like your works and your mighty deeds? I pray," this is Moses speaking, "let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account. It would not let me. So the Lord said to me, 'Enough of that. Speak no more to me of this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah and lift your eyes towards the west and north and south and east. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before the people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see.'" He could see it, but he couldn't enter it. What a bitter thing this must have been for Moses. And the reason was is that he acted out. He passed judgment when he should not have passed judgment. He misrepresented the voice of God, and it brought down judgment upon himself. Notice here, by the judgment he judged, "Judge not that you be not judged." He was judged for this act. And notice this judgment reaped upon himself this inability then to enter in even to the promised land. Led them for all these years, but could not enter in because of this judgment. Judgment is a dangerous thing, is what Jesus is saying. Judgment of others is dangerous business, number two, because by the same measure in which we judge others, God will in turn judge you. For with, notice there verse 2, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And then he goes on to explain that, this unequal judgment. Even the looking at the speck in the brother's eye, we'll notice the plank is in our own eye. So we have to be careful by which measure we pass judgment on others. Jesus is saying that same sort of judgment, that same measuring stick by which we place on others, it will be placed as well upon us. How many have you heard this scripture misquoted, I think? I think how many times I've heard people say, "Judge not, brother. Don't judge me." I don't believe that the scripture is saying to us that we can't judge. I think it's asking us to be careful. Jesus is asking us to be careful and not place judgment that is unrighteous or wrongful, that we must judge righteously. It's not that we can't make judgment. It's just that we must do it in a correct and right way. Notice here that this sort of judgment Jesus is pointing out in verse 3 and 4 is that while there's the speck in our eye, we're looking at others, and or there's the speck in others' eye, and there's but this plank within our own eye, that we're not equal in our judgment. We hold others to a certain accountability or level of accountability that we do not even hold ourselves. And Jesus is saying it should not be. Remember the woman that was caught in adultery in the New Testament? Those accusers brought the woman to Jesus. They threw her down at Jesus' feet. Well, the law of Moses, they says, was to hold her accountable. She should be stoned to death. What do you say, Jesus? What do you say? Jesus began to write in the dirt, didn't he? And it says, one by one, they began to walk away. I think he was writing the very things in their own life that they had committed, that they, too, were worthy of death. You see? They were looking for the speck when they had the plank in their own eye. We have to be careful. We're not judging others to a degree that we do not judge ourselves. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? First, he says, remove the plank from your own eye. And then you will clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So notice there's not going against judgment. He's just saying do it rightfully. When passing judgment, number three here, there is a right and wrong way to do it. And listen, opposing sin is not wrong. That's the confusing thing that people preach today, that proclaiming sin is a wrong sort of thing. They'll say, don't judge me. You know? Don't judge me. Don't pass judgment on me. And they sort of use it as an excuse so that they can continue on practicing that sin in their life. And they use that statement, thou shalt not judge, as a tool to allow them to go on without any call to repentance or seeking forgiveness for their sin. It's not wrong of us to pass judgment. It's just wrong if we pass it in the wrong way, that we do it in the wrong spirit, that we do it in a way that's seeking to boast self, or that we do it unequally, or we do it in a way that we're holding others to a standard that we yet don't even hold ourselves. This is what Jesus is calling out. You can help remove the speck in your brother's eye, but you first need to make sure that the plank from your own eye is removed. John 7:24, Jesus said, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. And that's what God is calling us to today. Judge righteously. Not that you can't pass judgment, not that you can't call out wrong when it is wrong, but that when we pass judgment, when we make decisions about what's right and wrong, that we do it in a righteous way. Don't let anyone tell you that it's wrong to call out sin. We must call out sin. Jesus called out sin. By today's liberal standards within the church, they would school Jesus for going into the temple and calling out the money changers. Oh, Jesus, what are you doing? What do you mean you're making and passing judgment on those money changers? Thou shalt not judge, Jesus. Jesus was applying a righteous judgment and a righteous anger. We can be angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. There is a righteous anger. And we should be angry at sin. And we shouldn't want it in our life no more than we want it in our neighbors. We should call out sin when it exists, but do it in a righteous way, not out of hypocrisy, like it's pointing out here. You hypocritically, you're casting out the sin out of you're calling out the sin out of your brother, but yet you have this plank. It's a hypocrite. Don't do it hastily, Jesus is saying. Don't do it rashly. Don't do it unwarrantably. Don't do it unfairly. Don't do it unmercifully. Don't do it out of self-righteousness. It's not that we can't call out sin. We just have to do it in the right way. We must be able to discern right and wrong. I think God wants us to discern and judge and make judgment between that which is right and that which is wrong. And I think that verse 6 there, boy, doesn't that one feel a little weird? Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under the feet and turn and tear you in pieces. I think that's talking about application and discernment of the application of judgment. You know, you can obviously judge for yourself and discern those things which are suitable for dogs and pigs. You know, do you cook your 12-inch porter steak and get it all seasoned and right and then take it out and serve it to your dog? Most people don't. What goes to the pigs, the finest food or slop? We make discernment over those things. You can discern what goes to the dogs, what is holy. And he's saying make and discern then when you're applying judgment about those right things and wrong things. Discern for yourself what is right. Discern and judge those things that are right and wrong. We should be able to tell the difference. So by what standard do we correctly judge others? Well, I'll give you the standards here, I think, that the Scriptures calls us out in how we should judge. I think it's that heart of Jesus. First, by the standard of God's compassion. If we're going to pass judgment upon others, we better do it with the same compassion that God has. Remember, Moses made that little error. He misrepresented God. He didn't have compassion upon the people when God had compassion upon the people. The Bible says that God remembers that we are but flesh. Now, God remembers that, but sometimes we don't. We'll hold someone to another standard that they must be greater than flesh. We're all sinners, aren't we? Does that mean that all of us at some point are going to make a mistake? Yeah, it is. We have to be careful when we pass judgment upon others, that we're making sure to apply the right sort of compassion, even that compassion that God applies. Secondly, by the standard of God's anger towards sin. God does not tolerate sin, nor should we. And we should apply that standard when we judge. Number three, by the standard of God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish and have eternal life. We better make sure that that's in our heart when we're applying judgment towards others, that God loved that person so much that His Son was willing to die upon a cross. Might make us be a little less cruel towards others when we realize that they are a son or a daughter of God that Jesus died for. Number four, by the standard of God's forgiveness. God forgives all sin, doesn't He? And we must act in accordance with the forgiveness that God has for all. Number five, by the standard of God's mercy, that God is merciful. His mercy knows no boundaries. Who can measure that mercy of God? Number six, by the standard of God's grace. We are all equal in the eyes of God. None is good. No, not one. And Jesus died for the sins of the world. And then lastly, number seven, I think by the standard of God's patience. Aren't you glad that God's patient with you? Those are the standards by which we judge. Boy, I'm so glad God's patient with me. He's long-suffering. Boy, if God wasn't long-suffering, we'd all been destroyed long ago, wouldn't we? For all the sin in our life. Thank God we serve a God that is long-suffering, merciful, gracious, forgiving, loving. Man. Boy, if we go forth and apply that judgment towards others, boy, we'll be doing really good, won't we? That's the standards by which He calls us to judge. Let us go forth and do that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, this is a difficult thing, Lord. It's one we all deal with. Lord, I pray that we hear Your words, the words of Your Son Jesus this morning, calling us to that righteous judgment. Lord, that we be not confused by the world's standard of judgment, that judge not, brother. Lord, I pray we hear the truth of Scripture this morning, that, Lord, we are to apply righteous judgment, that we're to discern what is right and what is wrong. But, Lord, we're to apply that judgment with the same love and compassion and grace and mercy and forgiveness and goodness that we find in You. Lord, help us to not misrepresent You in any way. Lord, help us. Help us to be kind and forgiving and loving as Your Son Jesus is. We praise His name here this morning. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. Okay. Let's turn in our hymnal now, page 303. It's a short hymn. People need the Lord. Let's stand together and sing it through. Two verses. In prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I think that song speaks to the heart, Lord, that we're to have towards others. Lord, they need the Lord. And Lord, I just pray that and as we, Lord, seek to discern right and wrong, we seek to discern those things that are good and those things that are wrong, Lord, that we keep that spirit within our heart, Lord, that people truly need the Lord. We need you, Jesus, in our life. Lord, we need your help in our life. Lord, transform us. Create and mold us and mend us into those people, Lord. The people, Lord, that you desire for us to be. Bless us, I pray, as we go forth from this church till we come again together to praise and worship your name. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.